Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
I remember when I was a kid, my parents put me in swimming lessons. Not because I wanted to, because it was a life skill that apparently I needed to do because I don't need to get into all the background of what happened to my dad when he was a teen or anything like that. Basically, I had to go to swimming lessons. And I was all right at them, except there was this one part that really annoyed me, and that was the back float. I don't know how many of you have gone to swimming lessons before, but it seemed like no matter how hard I tried, I would lay on my back and then I would just kind of fold and sink. And just trying and trying and trying. Eventually, I kind of figured it out. You know, I figured out that if I held my breath and I tried to move, I could get like just enough buoyancy going to kind of stay afloat and pass. But other than that, like I was horrible at it. And I don't know if you're with me on that or if you're like, what's your problem? The back float is the easiest thing that you can do, Pastor Stephen. But I am not a water person. Ask my children when they get back from Saskatchewan. You know, they go swimming and I say, have fun. Right? And that's just me. But I actually found out that the problem was not with me. Did you know that? The problem with my back floating, it was not with me. It was actually because I was in the wrong water. It's true. Because, see, I found out going to Bible college that there is this place near, like in Israel, called the Dead Sea. Now, some of you have maybe heard of it. This is a salt lake that's bordered by Jordan to the east and Israel and Palestine to the west. And it's actually the lowest elevation on land. So it's well below sea level. In fact, it has 9.6 times the salinity, that means 9.6 times the amount of salt as the ocean does. Now, an interesting thing about that is with all of that salt, you don't have to try very hard, you just float. So I was totally in the wrong water. If I lived in Israel, I could have taken all my swimming lessons in the Dead Sea and bam, I would have passed like that, no problem. Unfortunately, that's not where I grew up. The interesting thing about all this salt, though, is it's not actually, like, it's cool that you can float, but that's not the interesting thing that I want to bring across here today with the Dead Sea. It's actually that with all that saltiness, things can't flourish. Plants, animals, they just don't live. I mean, look at this area here. I'm told this is the Dead Sea. I've never been there, so I'm taking the photos, little tag thing, their word for it. I'm getting nods from people that have been around that area. So this is the Dead Sea. And you know, if you don't understand the name Dead Sea, just think, things can't live in it. Dead. But what's really important to understand is the reason why it's so dead. The Dead Sea is so dead because it's got all these bodies of water that funnel into it, but it doesn't have anywhere to go. You could say that the Dead Sea is dead because it spends all of its time receiving but never giving. In many of our churches, I see a similar thing that goes on. We have these churches and these Christians that have cold faith or have dead faith because they spend all their time going around seeing what they can collect, right? What can I get out of this? How can I be fed, but not returning that, not letting anything back? I think a lot of this actually comes to our search for purpose. Our search for purpose in life. Like if you ask the average person what their purpose in life is, I mean, they may be a little confused at the question because a lot of people don't have this thing in the front of their brain where they're going, what is my purpose? It's there, but it's not at the front. But I'll tell you what our culture says our purpose is. If you read newspapers or magazines or you're watching television or movies, even if there's no ads because you have Netflix, you're still getting some kind of messages that are coming to you. And we're being told that the purpose of life is to consume. You know, we're being shown these nice clothes and these nice houses and these nice cars. And man, if you are on Instagram a lot, like I tend to be, you get all these people that every time they get something new, they take the nicest picture of it possible and show it off to everyone, right? And so it's just, hey, look at me. And so we have this whole thing. We want to keep up with the Joneses. If only I had this one thing, that would be awesome. And so the purpose in life is consumerism, we're told. It kind of makes sense, right? We're in a capitalistic society, and if people don't spend money, then the economy is going to have a tough time. But there's still a problem here. What other purposes in life do we try to find? We try to find purposes in life by providing for our family. Right? If I just put in some extra hours on the job, the sacrifice I'm making now, you know, yeah, okay, I haven't seen my family for more than an hour in the last 14 days, but one day it's all going to be better because I can make this money and I can make my kids have this happiness and this future because I'm providing for them. Or man, if I just put in the extra time and the effort, if I just shut everything else out and work really hard, compromise on my values, maybe I'll be able to succeed in my workplace. Or you'll ask other people, you know, what's the purpose of life? And they'll say, well, there is none. We're here on accident. We live as a result of just a whole bunch of chance that happened, and we're just going to die. And a few years later, no one's even going to remember that you lived. So the purpose of life is nothing. It's not a very fun thing to think about. Either of these, they're not very fulfilling because they're all turned in on ourselves. What can I get out of life? How can I move forward in life? Or man, life doesn't really mean anything, so I might as well just make myself happy. But you know, Jesus has called his followers to a higher eternal purpose. And today we're going to learn how God created and gifted each of us uniquely for a purpose. And we're going to begin a journey towards discovering the purpose that he has for your life. Will you join me in praying? I believe that it's so important, especially as we approach the Bible, that we pray that we have the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives. So will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to learn from you. Thank you so much for leaving us this book, this manual for life, this document where you share with us what your purpose for us is and how much you love us and who you are. And God, today I ask that you'll help us to approach this with just open hearts and open minds, ready to receive what you have to say to us today. Lord God, that we will challenge the text, that we will go back and that we will critique what has been said as we study and as we seek your Spirit. But Lord, that we will not shut off the work of your Spirit in our lives. And God, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of that Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles here today, you can begin to turn in them to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a mobile device and you'd like to be able to take your notes on that or read your Bible on that, if you go to ascc.life, I'm going to say that again, ascc.life, tap on the message notes tile, and you'll be able to follow along on that. Or if you're like, hey, I showed up, isn't that enough? We do have it on the screen behind me too, so, you know, there's that. Today we're going to be starting in verse 12. This is what we read in this letter. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. And so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. I just got to stop here. Can you just picture that in your mind? Like, just pick a part and now make your whole body that part. It's kind of weird. Anyways, I digress. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among all the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So this here, 1 Corinthians, it's a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to kind of a church in turmoil in Corinth. And I guess the best way to put it is this. This church has become very centered on themselves. What I mean by that is, as people go to church, as they were going to church, people would be standing up in the middle of everything, and they'd just start to like speak in some language that nobody understood because they had the gift of speaking in tongues. And then before they're even done, somebody else is standing up, and they're talking even louder over that person, and nobody knows what's going on. You know, everybody's clamoring for attention. Look at me. I'm so special. I'm so awesome. And then in the background of that, you've got people that are thinking, man, if only I could have the same gift that those guys do, you know, the spiritual ones, if only I had that gift, I could go out there and I could be noticed too. People would see how godly I am, how much I love God and how much he loves me. And then behind them, you also had people that were going, I don't know if God's gifted me with anything. And even if he has, it's nothing like this. Like, it's nothing that's important like these people that I see. And so they were fading into the background. And so Paul writes and he tells these people, he says, listen, in the body of Christ, everyone has a role and no role is too small. Okay, in the body of Christ, everyone, listen to me, everyone has a role, and no role is too small. And so if you're here today and you're 5 years old and you're thinking, man, I can hardly wait until I am old enough to have a role in the church. Guess what? You're old enough to have a role in the church. You have a role. In the body of Christ, everyone has a role, and no role is too small. In fact, the Apostle Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood. We're all ministers of the gospel. So yeah, I'm the pastor, and so I've done studying, and you guys come here, and I try to teach you guys to train you, to equip you, to give you a passion for going out into the community with the good news of Jesus. But guess what? That doesn't mean that the only time someone can come to know Jesus or to hear the gospel is from me. In fact, it shouldn't be. Here at this church, we have a vision of seeing 600 people touched with the love of Jesus and 20 new, vibrant, fruitful disciples being made by the end of 2020. And let me tell you, if the only way that we try to accomplish that is by me standing up here and preaching to people, it'll never happen. But if each of us takes on the role that God has given us as ministers of the gospel, people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God and loved by God and excited by him, guess what? We'll see it happen, no problem. In the body of Christ, everyone has a role, and no role is too small. Here's the problem, is that too often you miss out on the purpose that God has for you because you're looking inward instead of outward. Okay, we miss out on what God has for us because we're looking inward instead of outward. In an article by Consumer Reports, 1 out of 10 people that was interviewed said that they would not give up their Starbucks or other coffee shop habit even if their income dropped dramatically in a failed economy. Make it at home, you say? Never. According to the same article, one survey found that people hold the tightest to at-home entertainment. When asked what is the last thing you would cut back on in order to economize, 38% of people said that they would never ditch pay television, including cable, satellite, Netflix, CBS All Access, Crave TV, or whatever else that you're streaming. They would not give it up, even if it meant that they had to get rid of the dog. See, our consumer-driven mindset has begun to blur the line between what is necessary, food, clothing, shelter, and what's a luxury, sitting in front of a box and being entertained, drinking a drink that you didn't have to spend 3 minutes making yourself. People in North America like to be able to spend on themselves, and the common attitude where we live is that my comfort is my number one priority. You might be thinking, yeah, Pastor Stephen, that's right. The world is so messed up. They've bought into the lie that it's all about me. It's all about my comfort. But I got to tell you, this same attitude creeps into our churches. Notice I say our churches, not just the one down the street, but our church. It creeps into our lives. Okay, I'm there with you. There's times that I'm going, man, the budget's really tight this month. What am I going to do? And I go, well, I'm not canceling this. We get there. You see it in church all the time. And people come to church kind of to be entertained. And they go out for lunch afterwards. Man, that worship set was awesome, but I'm really sick of that one song. Like the Holy Spirit just can't work through that one song anymore because I've heard it 5 times. I'm done with it. Or this thing called church shopping. You move into a new community. Instead of going and checking out the churches to see which one it feels like God is leading you to, instead it's like, okay, which one will serve my needs the best? Which one has an engaging preacher? Which one has the music at the right volume with the right songs? Which one has the best children's ministry? Which one has community groups that can meet my needs and the needs of my children separately so I can get a break from them in the middle of the week too? Like we go around and we look for these things, and once we find what we want, we say, the Holy Spirit has called me to this church. We shop around for what it'll give us. Now, other people kind of do the flip side of that. They go into a church and they're like, this church needs me. You've seen those people. They go in and they're like, I'm here. Let me serve so you can all see how godly I am. How blessed I am. They want the pat on the back. They want to feel good about themselves. And see, in both these situations, whether we're looking for what the church can give us because of all its programs, or whether we're looking for realistically what the church can still give us in its affirmation, it's an inward focus. It's us looking inside of ourselves, and we spend so much time trying to receive from other people and from the church. And churches sometimes spend so much time trying to receive from those that sit in the seats that they never actually turn around and use the resources that they have received to bless others or to move ahead in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet the truth of the matter is that God expects us to give what he's given us for his glory, not for your own. What's that look like? What does it look like to go out and give for others instead of myself? Let me tell you, Jesus modeled the ultimate act of serving others for their benefit and for God's glory, and he taught that we are to follow his example. See, we're told that the humanity really messed things up. God gave us a pretty good deal. Hey, here's a garden. Here's a wife. Here's a husband, you know. Go work a little bit. Eat whatever you want except for that one thing. And by the way, in the cool of the day, I'm going to come and walk beside you in the garden. We're going to have this intimate relationship together, this fellowship together. And then we're like, God, that's not good because I want to be... I want to be a God too. So we ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Try saying that 10 times fast. And in that moment, as we rebelled against God, humanity fell. And that connection that we had with him was severed. And the purpose that we were designed for really kind of fell apart. It got muddied. But the great thing is, and this is why it's so important that we read this book, This is the story of God not giving up on us. This is the story of how, like right from the very beginning, God's like, because you guys did this, these are the things that are going to happen. But oh, by the way, one day someone's going to come and the serpent, who's Satan, is going to try to take him out, and he's going to bite his heel, but he's just going to crush Satan's head. Dead. And then throughout here, we just see Jesus, or God, setting aside a people for himself, a people through whom his son Jesus is going to be born without sin, but fully human, fully God, and living without sin, even though we didn't deserve it. In fact, we're horrible, horrible people. You read in here, you're like, guys, you had everything, and time again, you mess it all up. And God never stopped pursuing. He never stopped saying, I'm coming for you. And then because of this stuff that we've been doing, because of his great love for us, Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life. And yet as someone sinless and perfectly innocent and holy, we nailed him to a Roman cross to die a criminal's death. And in that moment, he took on himself all of our sin, all of our shame, everything that we'd done to offend the heart of God who made us, everything that we'd done that missed the mark. He took that all on himself. And he said, listen, I am the door. Just turn from your sin and follow me, and you'll be saved. You'll be forgiven. You will be adopted by my Father in heaven as a son or daughter. So we follow Jesus' example. Now, don't get me wrong. Chances are he's not going to call you to, like, you know, run out in front of a bullet for someone or anything like that, you know. There's not necessarily that much of an example. You don't have to go and be like, you know, if I find that there's blood all over that cross and nails in it and some guy's hanging out there that's here right now, you took me the wrong way, okay? Okay, you don't have to be like that much like Jesus. Jesus died for you. Okay, you don't need to die unless he calls you that way. I'm just covering my butt right now. You know what I mean? But what I do see is that Jesus went to the cross. And man, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he's like, here's all this stuff. You could have great glory if only you would turn from your Father in heaven. And God went, no. Jesus went, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do things for my own glory. And instead, he was nailed to a cross, naked and ashamed and beaten and bloodied as people mocked him. To die. Why? For God's glory and for our benefit. That's the message of the gospel, friends. The fact of the matter is that he has given you gifts that you can use, that you're called to use in order to serve him and to serve others. But you need to consider, have you been spending all your time serving yourself? Have you been spending all your time only receiving and never giving? Or maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor Stephen, you don't understand. I don't have talents like others. I can't speak in front of people. I don't play an instrument. Like, I've got massive stage fright. I'm not technically inclined. In fact, if I sat back there like the guys back in the sound booth, something would just spontaneously combust with my presence being around it. You don't understand. I don't have any of the cool stuff, Pastor. You don't understand. I'm not a prophet. You don't understand. I don't get words of knowledge. You don't understand. I can't look at someone and hear God saying, pray for them, they're going to be healed, and see them healed. That's not me. And so what can I do? Maybe you think that you're not good enough. Or on the flip side, maybe you think that you're too good, that you're too busy, that you got better, more important things to do in life. Maybe it's time to find the purpose that God has for you. See, he's already given everything to give you all that you need. The greatest gift that could be given, and all that he calls is that we would just take a little bit of what he's given us and give it to others. See, in the body of Christ, everyone has a role, and no role is too small. The body of Christ, by the way, is the church. We are the church. You come into this building and you call this the church. But that's actually a misnomer, because if nobody's in this building, it's just a building that has the name church on the outside of it. It's when we gather together to worship God that it is the church, because we are the church gathered together. See, the body of Christ is just another name for the church. But we go to church and we're like, yes, I'm going to go to that organization and see how they can benefit my life, when really Jesus has already benefited your life in ways that you can't even fathom. And he calls us to gather together to build one another up. to encourage each other and to play our role. See, a lot of churches operate with a whole lot of mouths and a whole lot of ears and a whole lot of nothing else. But in the body of Christ, everyone has a role, and no role is too small. See, we can have the opportunity to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, because the church, Christ's church, the kingdom of God, and our souls live on beyond us, beyond these mortal, fleshy bodies that break down over time. There's more to it. There's more that you can look forward to. And so if your faith is cold, look at yourself. Don't look at the church that you're in and go, it's their fault. Don't look at the people around you and say, it's their fault, or at God and say, it's your fault. But if your faith is dead and cold, then begin to look at yourself and say, am I a consumer, or am I fulfilling my role in the body? We started this message by talking about the Dead Sea, and realistically, it seems pretty useless, doesn't it? I mean, what's the point of a body of water where things flow in, they don't go anywhere, and if anything goes into it, like, nothing can live there. It's just dead. But you know, even in these situations where something seems dead, it can have a gift that's given to it. And you know, the Dead Sea, I knew I shouldn't have used electrical tape. There we go. The Dead Sea is able to give. Things like this. This is a cosmetic. I don't know. My wife says that there's Dead Sea mineral products. There we go. I don't even know what this is, but it's from the Dead Sea. See, the Dead Sea, even though it doesn't do what we would normally expect a body of water to do, it is able to give out, and it is able to be made use of. And in fact, for thousands of years, people have been gathering around the Dead Sea for health purposes. And in fact, it was one of the, I read somewhere that it was one of the first health spas ever to be here on earth. Because people recognize that even though the Dead Sea has a name like being dead, and even though nothing can thrive in it, that it has something to give. And as it gives, it plays its role in the world. It uses its gift that God has given it. And so no matter how unlikely or hidden your role may be, each of us, we need to remember, each of us was created for a purpose within the body. But if we fail to enact that purpose, in other words, if we fail to put that purpose into action, put our gifts into play, then the body will never run at 100%. And listen, yeah, you can get by with a lot of things missing in your body, but it's a lot tougher. And we're told that we're running a marathon, and just imagine running a marathon when you're missing one foot, and you're missing a couple vertebrae, and you got arthritis in your neck, and you're missing an eye, and I don't know what else, and you're bald. See, in God's eyes, those that serve faithfully greatly please him, no matter how small the role that they play seems to them at that moment. No matter how great it is, if you serve him, not for what it gives you, but for what you can give others and how you can glorify God, my word, is that a powerful thing. Because in the body of Christ, everyone has a role, and no role is too small. And so today, if you're sitting here and you're like, okay, yeah, I get it, Pastor Stephen, you're saying I have a role and that no role is too small. And so what is that, you know, how do I get involved? What can I do? This is the attitude that I hope that you're at right now. And if it is, here's what I want you to understand today. All believers should actively seek to serve the body of Christ. We must serve, not sit. Don't get me wrong. I'm fine with you sitting while I'm talking, okay? But if church to you is I come into the building, I sit down on my bum, and I just stay here until it's time to go, and then I run out the door, then you're missing the purpose of what we are the church means. Because the church isn't this building. It's not these seats. It's not just the person next to you, but it's us together, and we must all serve and not sit. And so if you're here in this place and this is your home church, let me encourage you this afternoon to go on your phone or your mobile browser or wherever you're at. chat and type in ascc.life. Tap on the sign up tile and let us know how you are interested, how you could be serving instead of sitting. And if you look at the list of ways that you can serve and you're like, none of these are me, just tell us a little bit about yourself. There's a comments thing in the little form that you can fill out there. And we're going to, we'll follow up with you and we'll say, hey, you know what? Yeah, you're right. The things that we have on this page maybe aren't the best, but you know, we've been really thinking of this ministry here. Or maybe you bring one up and we say, we want to partner with you in that. You know how those community gardens out in the front there, they got started was because someone had a passion for sustainable food for people that don't have a lot of money. And so we went, awesome, start it. They moved away and we've continued it going because they put into practice what God had laid in their heart, the giftings that he had given them. Because in the body of Christ, everyone has a role and no role is too small. Will you join me in praying this morning? Heavenly Father, I just thank you that that you have given us a purpose, that each of us has a role to play in the kingdom of God. And so today, Lord, will you just send your Holy Spirit to begin to show us what that purpose is. And God, if there's people here that have felt unworthy, will you just help them to know that they are worthy? And if there are people here that think that they're too worthy, Lord God, I just ask right now, as much as they hate to hear it, that you will humble them and that you'll help them to recognize that it's not about them, but it's about you and sharing your love with this community and with the world. Right now, why don't you begin to seek the Holy Spirit and ask him to work in your life? And I want to talk to anyone that's here or online, and you heard what I was talking about with Jesus and what he did for you, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I really need to follow Jesus.
Maybe you're listening, and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.